Penguin Random House Audio presents Tending Roses by Lisa Wingate. Read for you by Allison Ryan. To my grandmothers, for tilling the soil in which we grew, and for watering our roots with stories of all the old things. Prologue. Dear Joshua, I don't know why I haven't told you before now. I always thought I would once you were old enough, maybe 10 or 11 or 16. On a birthday or a deep winter night as the new snow quiets the world's rush, or perhaps on the last day of summer, the one that teeters at the edge of another school year of sack lunches, report cards, baseball games, carpools, and crazy schedules. The day we pretend will never end, until it does, and life rushes forward like a fully loaded SUV rolling downhill. Before you know it, you're 100 miles farther along, and there's so much forward momentum, the scenery is all a blur. But every road ends somewhere. The strange thing is, I didn't see it coming. I'd convinced myself that around every bend there would be another bend, another hill or valley. Another long, straight stretch, perfect for meandering and sightseeing. Yet here we sit, you and me, at the end of the road, the edge of the ocean. You're about to fly over it. A graduation trip, then college. Even though I'm trying hard not to let it show, I want to swim past the breakers and sink to the bottom and stay there with my eyes closed and the water covering my ears. And yes, I know that's an overreaction. When you read this, you'll think, Mom, please, really? You'll roll your eyes in that carefree way of yours and shrug those rebellious bangs off your forehead. You'll offer the one-sided smirk that says you and I are the weird ones in the family, the two who always get each other's hidden meanings. Only this time, you don't get it. You can't. You won't for another 25 or 30 years, until you lie on the sand, or sit in a stadium seat somewhere, or stand at your kitchen stove, and catch a glimpse of your firstborn, your baby, suddenly inhabiting the body of an adult, someone you barely recognize. In that instant, you'll think, how did this happen? When did this happen? Have I taught enough? Have I listened enough? Have I coached and planned and laughed and worried enough? Can I let go enough? I'm afraid I won't be able to do it gracefully when the moment comes. I'm not ready. It's too soon. Instead of compiling pictures for a tasteful collage to make your dorm room homey, I want to climb inside the photos and live them again. Every bedtime story, lost tooth, birthday cake, backyard campout, ball game, wildflower bouquet, rainy day, and homemade Mother's Day card. All the golden moments and all the quiet, ordinary ones. I'd treasure them even more the second time around. If only life came with a rewind button, with do-overs. Instead, there's this one last week at the beach house, before our family veers past yet another milestone. Yes, I know your dad and I still have your brother and sister, at least until they spread their wings and fly the coop too. But the space that was yours will be empty first. A bedroom window that stays dark. A bed only must on holidays. One less backpack on the bench. Loaves of bread and gallons of milk will disappear half as fast. That's a plus, I guess. There won't be anyone ferreting out my secret stashes of mom candy. I've always known that was you. You're the only one who'd filch all the colors I like best and put the rest back in the bag, confident that I love you too much to file charges. You're right, of course. I do. I have since the first moment I saw you. Only a glimpse, a bare instant before wild-eyed doctors and nurses rushed you away. Tiny and blue, half dead before you'd even had a chance to live. We started this journey together that day, you and me, both of us on equally shaky ground. Before you can really be ready for the journey ahead of you now, my precious boy, you need to understand the one behind, the story I haven't told you. Not all of it, anyway. Not from beginning to end. It changed everything about you and me. That's why you should know. That's why I'm writing in this notebook. Always, Mom. Chapter 1. Indian wisdom says our lives are rivers. We are born somewhere small and quiet, and we move toward a place we cannot see, but only imagine. Along our journey, people and events flow into us, and we are created of everywhere and everyone we have passed. Each event, each person, changes us in some way. Even in times of drought, we are still moving and growing. But it is during seasons of rain that we expand the most. When water flows from all directions, sweeping at terrifying speed, chasing against rocks, spilling over boundaries. These are painful times, but they enable us to carry burdens we could never have thought possible. This I learned from my grandmother when my life was rushing with torrential speed and hers was slowly ebbing into the sea. I think it was God's plan that we came together at this time, to carry each other's burden, to remind ourselves of what we had been and would someday become. Floods are painful, but they are necessary. They keep us clear and strong. They move our lives onto new paths. A winter rain was falling the day we drove the potholed gravel drive to the Missouri farmhouse my great-grandparents had built on a bluff above Mulberry Creek. As straight as one of the grand porch pillars, and as much a part of the house, Grandma watched as we wound through the rivers of muddy water flowing down the hill. She frowned and wrung her hands as the car tires spun, throwing gravel against the ancient trees along the drive. No doubt she was worried that we would damage her prized silver maples. A sick feeling started in my throat and fell to my stomach like a swallowed ice cube. I looked at Ben in the driver's seat and the baby asleep in the car seat behind us. This would probably be the longest December and the worst Christmas of our lives. It would only be a matter of time before Grandma figured out why we had come and war broke out. Even now, she was looking at us with mild suspicion, no doubt calculating why we were arriving 3 weeks early for Christmas. She wouldn't be fooled for long into thinking this was just a casual visit. That was the wishful thinking of a bunch of relatives hoping to postpone the problem of Grandma Rose until they were off work for the Christmas holiday. In a perfect world, all of them would have been rushing to Grandma's side, whether it was convenient or not. In a perfect world, I wouldn't have been looking at my grandmother with a sense of dread, and I wouldn't have been looking at my baby and wondering if the trip was too much for him, and if it was wise to take him so far from his doctors. In a perfect world, babies are born healthy, and medical bills don't snowball into the tens of thousands of dollars, and grandmothers don't almost burn down their houses, and family members don't go years without speaking to one another. And Christmas is a time to look forward to. But those of us who aren't perfect do the best we can. With me on maternity leave and Ben able to do most of his work in structural design anywhere there was a computer and a phone line, we were the logical choice to stay at the farm the next few weeks and make sure Grandma Rose didn't burn down the rest of the house before the family could figure out what to do about her. But I never imagined how I would feel when we turned the corner to the house. I never thought the sight of my grandmother, ramrod straight on the porch, would turn me into that 6-year-old girl who hated to enter that house. It wasn't Grandma I hated. It was the house. The constant fuss about scuffing the floors and scraping the walls and tracking mud on the rugs, as if the house were more important than the children in it. From the porch, Grandma
Sample complete. Ready to continue?